Call me Mr. Big Chest. Big Chest for now on. Big Chest Brown for now on. Don't even call me AB. Just call me Big Chest. Yeah, Mr. Big Chest.
Isn't that, that had some flow to it.
Someone's got
to
remix that.
That's what I'm saying.
That's someone who should be Paul Gallant, I think.
It's going to be dropped into
Give
something.
Give me my treasure chest. I'm Mr. Big Chest.
Wait.
I'm the best.
I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah.
The Texans, if they are presented with the opportunity, need to trade a second-round pick for Antonio Brown. If that can get it done, they need to get it done. You only live once. And if they cannot win with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown, I will fire the football gods. Thank you.
If you fire the football gods, what happens? Does football cease to exist?
Basically.
I mean, also, you only live once as a rationale. I mean, you only live once. I really want to get the herp. Like, sorry. Antonio Brown could be that kind of problem for your team. Let's be honest here.
You only live once.
You only live once.
Why not play Russian roulette? You only live once.
But that's the thing. You only live once. This will not have a long-term damaging effect. At some point, you need to go for it and try to win.
Oh, no, it definitely wouldn't, because it's a second round. Paul, you of all people are the one that gets up here on a soapbox and acts like draft picks are meaningless. So all you're talking about is $12 million non-guaranteed salary.
Okay, fair enough. All I'm saying is there's potential for discord if you bring in Mr. Big Chest.
I will say this. Trading a second-round draft pick, I think that's a little bit too high. I have a different scenario that I would pose to get Antonio Brown here. I would trade Will Fuller and a fifth-round pick for Antonio Brown and 2 6-round picks.
Hold on a second. I gotta write this down. I gotta make sure. All right, so Will Fuller.
Will Fuller.
I'm gonna get out my draft chart.
For Antonio Brown and what pick?
2 6-round
picks. Hell yeah. I'll do that. I'll do that in Harvey. You know why? Antonio Brown's healthy consistently.
He's healthy all the
time.
And
he's awesome. He's so good. How have we all forgotten how good Antonio Brown is? Are you kidding me? I'd let him marry my sister. What? Like, of course, I don't care how crazy he is. Come play football for my team.
The question is, will the Steelers take that? The Steelers are going to get back. Like, Will Fuller, when he's healthy, is a legitimate number 2 receiver in the NFL. But the problem is for the Texans is he hasn't stayed healthy. But you trade them a fifth-round pick, which you take a fifth-round pick over the 2 6, right? But you're getting rid of Landry just texted me. That doesn't even go through on Madden. I don't care about Madden. I'm talking about real life here.
Well, I think
I want to trade Ryan Griffin for Antonio Brown, guys.
I love Will Fuller.
Can we trade
Kevin
Lamb
Johnson
for Antonio Brown? Would you do it?
Kevin Johnson for Antonio Brown in a first, straight up.
I love Will Fuller, but the problem with Fuller's value on the trade market right now is that while he is a good player, he's somebody who, if I'm acquiring Will Fuller, he's coming off a torn ACL.
Right.
And he's in a situation where he's in year 4, then there's a fifth-year option, so I'm going to have to pay him more money fairly quickly here. So that makes him technically, financially less valuable. So if I'm the Steelers, I want more is basically what I'm saying.
If you want more, then I'd go up to like a fourth-round pick.
I think the problem is you need like to trade for Antonio Brown, you need to give him something big.
I think there's a team out there that's going to trade a first round pick for Antonio Brown.
To me, the most obvious team with that is the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Because they have the same situation we have.
Think about Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin got traded for a first round pick who exhibited. He had a longer track record of weirdness than Antonio Brown with none of the on field production of Antonio Brown, and he got traded for a first round pick.
I mean, yeah, but I've just listened to you guys for the past 2 hours talk about how, you know, not necessarily you guys, but talk about how Antonio Brown, he's going to be a cancer in the locker room. He's such a bad seed, and he keeps talking to himself. He keeps talking his trade value down. He keeps talking it down. Good. Now, let's take advantage of the fact that he talked it down. Give them a young receiver that is super talented that they get back, plus a higher draft pick than what they're giving up. They get rid of Antonio Brown and that headache that they're trying to get rid of. It benefits the Texans. I don't think that Antonio Brown here in the Texans locker room is going to be the headache that he was in the Steelers locker room, because I don't see Deshaun Watson as being the type of quarterback that's going to sell out his guys ever.
Let me ask you.
And then have an organization that condones it.
So as we're talking about whether the Texans should go after Antonio Brown and how much would they give up, Wade, should the Texans, if they will, as I command them, take a look at Antonio Brown, do you talk to DeAndre Hopkins beforehand?
Sure, you talk to him about it. I don't think D-Hop is going to trip, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when they signed Will Fuller. They drafted him. He was a first-round pick. He tweeted as soon as the pick was made, like, yes, no more double teams. if you remember
right.
that.
That's right.
If you have Antonio Brown other time yeah. on the other side, then he's just going to get that much more open, and he's going to have many more opportunities to catch the ball. I just think that, I mean, and to have big plays. He might not catch the volume, but he's going to have more opportunities to have one-on-one coverage. He's going to score more touchdowns. I just think that it benefits everyone. It helps the running game. You don't have to have a big-time running back if you have Antonio Brown, you have DeAndre Hopkins as your two outside receivers. You don't have to put a lot of money into the tight end position, how people are talking about drafting a first-round pick. You don't need that. You just need some – you still have QQQT in the slot that's going to open up the seams. I just think that if you do that and you couple that with the Trent Brown move, now you have a top-five offense in the league. And then you have a top-five offense with a defense that's about, you know, 12. Let's say you have a 12th-ranked defense. That team can compete and win a Super Bowl.
It's a scary offense. Like, it strikes fear. These are like the whistling arrows of the Huns. This is terrifying.
Former Texans wide receiver Cecil Shorts actually just texted me, and he asked this question to us. Can Antonio Brown be a number two? Because he won't be the main guy, and he had an issue with Juju Smith-Schuster's success. And I wonder on that front
And that's where I would say, and this is where I'm intrigued, because Cecil and Wade have obviously both been in that locker room more recently than I have as players. My question is, what about it, how much of this is Antonio Brown, and how much of it is Antonio Brown in that Steelers organization? Because now it's happened with Le'Veon Bell. It's happened with Antonio Brown. James freaking Harrison, one of the most beloved Steelers of all time, was a locker room distraction by his last tenure there. Like, what is it about Mike Tomlin in that locker room versus, I don't know if Antonio Brown's going to be as, like, Antonio Brown is a weird dude, apparently. I get that. But, like, Wade, you've played with guys. Have you played with anybody that you think, like, okay, in another situation, this guy might be completely off the reservation?
There's always guys like that. If you put them in the wrong situation, all of their negative attributes are going to flourish. I think Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh, when he was first there, the locker room was different than what it has become.
Yeah.
You had the offensive line there calling out players, like calling out their running back. Who does that?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Even if you hate him.
It's just never been done before. Yeah. So everything that goes on in a locker room, you have to take kind of with a grain of salt. You have to measure that in. Everything is weighted. Like, Antonio Brown, is he going to act like that here in Houston? I don't think so at all. There's nothing that says that he would, because you don't have a quarterback there that is going to throw people under the bus and say it's okay because I've been here for a while. Like, no, it's never okay to do that. And then you have the GM that co-signs it and says there's 52 kids on the team and he's basically the father. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. Everybody here is grown men and everybody here has a responsibility and a role. I think the Texans organization, they do a great job of making sure that they don't throw anybody on the bus. Even fans get pissed off about it because yes. It's like, you know, Bill O'Brien is never going to call a guy out outside the locker room, but inside the locker room, how it should be, he'll call out somebody in a minute. And if Antonio Brown is not doing right in the locker room, in the meeting room, he's going to call him out, and everyone's going to know it. It's not going to be a situation where Mike Tomlin is not he's giving all these special rules and circumstances for Antonio Brown because he's so good. And I don't think it's going to be a situation where Antonio Brown is the number two. You just have two number one receivers.
Yeah.
And you tell the defense good luck. And it's two number one receivers. And each defense, good luck trying to stop them.
And that's where last year, it's so curious that there was, whatever it was between Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown's targets didn't actually go down all that much.
They didn't.
With Juju's system. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster got a lot of Le'Veon Bell's targets, basically. So I think there was more to it than that, and it is. A lot of it starts with Ben Roethlisberger. Like, there's a reason, like, Emmanuel Sanders isn't, like, a guy that goes around criticizing his quarterbacks.
And
he's played with some bad ones, but he criticized Ben Roethlisberger after he left about his leadership ability.
Yeah, that was, like, 3-4 years ago when he did that. You know what I mean? And people have to understand that if you give someone the green light to act a certain way, a lot of times they're going to take that inch and they're going to take it a mile. And that's part of the problem in Pittsburgh is that Mike Tomlin lets them get away with stuff. The people that are above Mike Tomlin allow that to happen. And they condone it. And so then now you just have chaos in the locker room. And this locker room in Houston is not chaos. It's the exact opposite of that. You have a guy like Jadeveon Clowney that should probably be disgruntled, but you never hear a peep out of him. You know what I mean? Because that a lot of that has to do with him personally, but it has to do with the environment of the locker room. I just don't think that you should factor that part of it with bringing in Antonio Brown as far as, is he going to be a locker room cancer? And then even if he was, Locker room cancer, Terrell Owens took his team to the Super Bowl. Locker room cancer, Randy Moss, the guy that takes plays off or whatever, their team went to the Super Bowl. Like, bring in this top flight Hall of Fame receiver. Bring in this top flight Hall of Fame receiver, and then let's put the ball down and play football and stop worrying about all the extracurricular stuff.
Remember, you only live once.
Well, no, but this is where the Patriots have ruined everything. Is where, because of the Patriots and their success, everybody wants to emulate the Patriots, and you ignore the fact that, like, every other team that's won a Super Bowl or has a chance at winning a Super Bowl has a couple of, like, non-Patriots type of guys on it.
Of course.
So, like, you're not gonna recreate Rome with your one franchise here. Just go ahead and take an Antonio Brown. I implore you, Bill O'Brien, you're good enough to handle him. Are you afraid? Are you scared, Bill O'Brien? Because personally, I think you've got it in you. I think you can handle it.